you to open to Genesis chapter 12. Look at that. Oh, yes, I should mention that. Do you like that? So I expect you to keep one cow apart. I don't know where I got that sign from, but that's two goats to you, Josh. And we want to also remind you we have the Sparks and so on going on. You know all that stuff. Don't forget to get the app. But Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. This is the great calling of Abraham. Before he was Abraham, he was a guy called Abram. And this is his great calling. It says this. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Isn't that incredible? All the families of the earth shall be blessed through this one man and his family. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, that you would make it clear what you're saying to us this morning. And we just pledge to honor you and follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to talk about something. You may have heard of this, maybe not, but I found it to be really true. It's called geographical anointing. It's a long name, which is pretty much, well, let's face it, we're all creatures of habit, aren't we? Most of us are not nomads. There's a few nomads. I know you guys love to travel. There's a few nomads, but most of us are not nomads. We love our creature comforts. We love our stable comfort home. We like it. It's safe. We understand it. It feels normal. Well, almost normal. It's stable. It's our comfort zone. Haven't you? Even people who don't live in nice places kind of love it because it's home. We feel comfortable about it. And so it is natural for us to resist moving to a new place, uprooting ourselves and replanting ourselves somewhere else. We tend to resist that because we're just comfortable with being comfortable. How many of you know that? Abraham was just like that too. Now, Abraham, in and around where that verse is in Genesis, he was living in he was already successful, comfortable and rich and influential. And he was living in a town called Ur of the Chaldees in Mesopotamia. Now, Ur was a pagan city. It was a city where everyone wanted to be, was cosmopolitan. And according to some of the ancient texts, it was a very powerful, desirable city. It was kind of like being, you know, people talk about New York or Paris or something. It's kind of like that of its day. Everyone wanted to be there. It was just a cool place to be. Yet with all that comfort, Abraham was restless. In his spirit, he felt something wasn't quite right. And though he did not as yet know God at the time, the Lord spoke to him and gave him a promise. And the promise was that he would make him and his descendants great. And he didn't have a child at the time. And so this was like, are you kidding me? I don't even have a son. And yet God said, I'll make your descendants great. But like many of God's great promises, they are dependent upon acts of obedience. And think about it. You know, if you want to follow the Lord, you have to be obedient to what he is asking you to do. Don't even think God will lead you into your destiny if you refuse to obey. Why should he? If you say, Lord, you know, I want to go here, but he's saying you need to go there. If you don't obey him, how can he lead you into his destiny? It's like, have you ever tried to lead a horse that is not wanting to be led? Have you ever tried to lead a donkey? They always don't want to be led, right? It's really difficult. It's like herding chickens. It just wants to go everywhere except the right way. So Abraham's prophecy was totally dependent upon his obedience in moving from where he was when God spoke to him to a new place. He couldn't just say, as we would tend to say, God, I'm not moving. Just bless me here. That wasn't on the cards for Abraham. He had to move to a new geographical point. He had to go to a new place in order to move into the blessing of God. Now, I believe that's sort of loosely what we call geographical anointing. When you go to a new place, that your anointing or your ministry will increase. How many of you have experienced that in your own life? Because I certainly have. And some of you, I know some of you have moved from overseas, you guys, and from South Africa and other places. Ruth came from the Philippines. I mean, that's a big step. It's a long swim. But she came here with a dream in her heart because she felt the Lord speaking to her. And we are so glad that he did. You're glad, right, Danny? Okay, good. We're so glad. Because sometimes when we go to a new place, there is a new, a fresh anointing. There's something, God's got something new for us in this new position. And the anointing intensifies by physically moving in obedience to the Lord. When Fiona and I first moved up here many decades ago from New South Wales, we were living on the central coast of New South Wales, and we had a good life. We had a good ministry. We had lots of blessing and that sort of stuff. But God spoke to us to move to Queensland. And I'll never forget this. He spoke to me to move to Queensland. We had then sold our house, got everything ready. We moved to Queensland. And that was the first time I ever ministered with Reverend Dr. Bill Newman. And now Bill Newman, as you know, he's a great evangelist. He's traveled all around the world. And I first walked onto stage singing before he spoke. Around about that time. And he met with me afterwards and he said, "We would really love you on our team. It's a pity you don't live in Queensland." And I said, "I'm moving there next week." You see, because God was preparing the way for this incredible blessing. And that started for me a ministry with this great man of God. For 25 years, I've traveled the world with him. I've sung in stadiums and churches and all sorts of places to hundreds of thousands of people. And I've seen hundreds of thousands of people saved. What a blessing that would not have been there had I not moved. So that's my testimony. I don't know what yours is, but some of you would say that. You move from one country to another country is a big move, isn't it? How many of you have moved countries? Look at that. Tons of you. That takes incredible courage. But how many of you have been blessed by that? Don't put your hand up if you haven't. I'm sure you've all been, because God has something special for you at the new place. And Abraham was the same. He had to be open to a geographical move, deciding to leave what he knew and what he was comfortable with. But that's just the start. Then Abraham begins this incredible journey of faith, which of course is recorded in the Bible centuries for us to read centuries later. So today, in this short message, I want to examine how physically moving in obedience to God's word is rewarded by progressing us towards our destiny. And I'll tell you right up front, I want to apply this to this church, because I believe if you look around, we are full. We are actually over full. And so we're having trouble fitting people in. We've looked at every which way we can to extend this church. Council knocked most of that on the head, and so we are crammed. But I believe our only option is to move to a bigger venue. But it's got to be air conditioned. I'm not a softie, but we are, yes. So as Abraham was asked to move to a new situation, I believe the Lord is asking us to do that now. Do I hear anybody agreeing with me? Yes. Good. I know you like close fellowship, but you can't do that in COVID. So let's look at some of the steps that Abraham took on his journey. First of all, God's word leads to faith. God spoke to Abraham when he was an idolater, like his father. He didn't know God, but God spoke to him and called him to greatness. In fact, in Joshua looks back at this event in Joshua 24, verse 2. He says this. This is what Joshua said. "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then God took your father Abraham from beyond the river, and he led him through all the lands of Canaan, and he made his offspring many, and he gave him Isaac." So back in the day, even Joshua looking back could say, the Lord said this, "I'm going to take you from your situation to a new place, and I'm going to place on you a blessing and anointing that you would never have got back there." So despite not knowing God, God saw fit to reveal to him his glory. And he spoke to him, and Abraham turned from vain idols to follow the Lord's, from leaving all of his comforts, all of his successes, all of his provisions, to head out into he knew not what. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So if we're going to go anywhere as a church, as a people, as individuals, you need to hear from God, don't you? I don't want to just launch out and go to Perth to find out that I misheard. You know, I want to make sure we get this right, and so do you. Over recent months, the Lord has been speaking a lot to me about moving the location of this church. It's scary. Anybody scared by the thought? I am. But at first glance, it looks impossible. Council tells us We had a meeting with them the other week. They tell us they will not change the zoning on this property. So this is zoned community. We think it should be zoned residential. It was in the past, but they are refusing to do that. So we have to find somebody to buy this property. I'm thinking like you are. Then we have to identify a place to go to. And then council has to change the zoning on that one because otherwise you can't be a church. And then we have to find hundreds of thousands of dollars, etc. We've tried this twice already in recent years. We tried to move up to New Life and join with them. That was thwarted. Almost 18 months ago, we tried to move to the Clark Centre. Anybody remember that? And we were all very keen on it. And it fell through because he was 600, I think, Zach, 600,000 over. Was it? Over the valuation. That's a lot. And so that all fell through. I was disappointed, but I didn't see COVID coming either. It's actually a blessing, wasn't it? It disappointed me, but I never stopped trusting God. And I've been saying, Lord, we've got to solve the space problem. Space, the final frontier. That's what we've got to deal with. And so we need to move somewhere, you know. And God keeps speaking to me words like we were reading earlier in Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, from your kindred, from your father's house to the land that I will show you. So he's got something for us. Are you excited? I'm really excited. I believe he has something for us. Now, the second thing is that faith leads to obedience. The New Testament says in Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham obeyed. And so it has well been said that faith is not believing in spite of evidence, it's obeying in spite of consequences. And I think that if you look at Abraham, it was a scary thing. He was successful. He was comfortable. He was doing really well. And God said, launch out into something you don't know anything about, in a place you've never even heard of. And trust me, that takes faith, folks. And some of you have done that. You come from other nations to bless our nation because you listen to the call of God. When God speaks clearly to me from his word, I can be confident in what he's doing. So, you know, I talk about this a lot, but some people sort of say, I'm telling God we need to move here. I'm saying, God, make this happen. I'm not saying that, but God is saying to me out of his word, it's time. It's time that we do find a new place. Now, interestingly, we are told that God spoke to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees, but he only got as far as Haran with his entourage, including his father. In Acts 7, verse 2, it says this, brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and he said to him, go out from your land, from your kindred, go to the land I will show you. Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there to this land in which you're now living. Now, so here's the situation. He started down here in Ur. This is desert. No one goes in here, okay? He was heading over to the promised land, but he got as far as Haran, right at the top. He got halfway there. Genesis 11:31. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, and his grandson, and Sarai, it was at the time, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. So when you are on a journey of faith, there will always be someone partway along say, hey, let's stop here. It's pretty good. It's nice and it's in the green bit. It's not in the yellow bit. So it's not desert. It's a cool place. And it was comfortable. And, you know, any time you take a journey of faith, someone will say along the way, but it's so comfortable here. Why should we go? This place is okay. It's not what God promised us, but, you know, it's not what he planned for us, but it's pretty good. We're doing okay. Let's stay. Now, as a church, we are doing okay here. Did you know that? We're full numbers-wise. Our services are going okay. We have air conditioning. What more could you ask for? We're okay, and some would argue that maybe we should stay here. More toilets is what we could ask for, very much. Wow. Okay. I go to big churches for conferences, and I get toilet envy. Look at this place. This is as big as our auditorium, and it's a toilet, you know. It's just so I hope to be cured of toilet envy one day. That's my hope. So when you start to look around and you say to yourself, is it safe? Not is it right? You've stopped living by faith. And I think we're good. We're comfortable here. But Abraham was comfortable and God had more for him. And I'm telling you, I believe God has more for us. Do I hear an amen to that one? He has more. This is not it. I don't want to mark time. I want to keep marching. The third thing is obedience leads to blessing. We are told nothing about Haran. Why? Because it's irrelevant to the story. Probably a nice place they wanted to stay, but it's irrelevant. We're told nothing about the journey, which must have been difficult and taxing, because that's not important either. What we are told is that God met Abraham when he stepped out into the promised land. He met him at the border and he said, this is it. And he gave him a new promise. And God always goes before us. His word is encouraging us every step of the way. Time and again, God speaks to Abraham. If you look through Genesis 12, 13, 14, God's just saying again and again, here's the promise. I'm going to make your descendants great. You know, step outside. Look at the stars. Your descendants are going to be like the stars. There's going to be billions of them, you know. Genesis 13, 15. For all the land you see, the Lord says, I will give you to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth. So that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. See, God can do off the scale, exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ask or imagine. And I can imagine quite a bit. So I'm really excited about that. That he can go, he doesn't just say, hey, you're doing okay. I don't want to be okay. I want to be right on the crest of what God is doing, don't you? The fourth thing is that blessing leads to testing. Faith requires obedience, and it's always tested for at least three reasons. One, to prove to us whether our faith is real. You can say whatever you like. It's what you do that makes a difference. And so the testing of our faith reveals to us if our faith is genuine or not. Secondly, it helps our faith to grow. And thirdly, it brings glory to the Lord. Now imagine Abraham's feelings. He had all this stuff. He was really successful. He goes on this journey. He gets stuck halfway there till his father passes away because his dad liked that. And so he's stuck with his dad. Then he comes down to the promised land after this incredible journey. And he walks into the promised land. And the first thing he encounters when he gets to the so-called promised land is a famine. Can you imagine that? We can be right in the will of God and still suffer tests and trials for him. Did you know that? These people who say, oh, God will never test you. We will never, you know. Yes, he will. I'm sorry. That's not my experience, you know. And so here we are right on the cut. He's walking into the promised land and what's first thing he hits is a famine. So it's been said that faith is living without scheming. I like that. Faith is living without scheming. Because I'm a bit of a schemer at times. So are you, I bet. Now, Abraham goes into that place and he hits this drought. So instead of trusting, he trusted him all the way around. And when he gets there, instead of trusting God, he starts to scheme. What are we going to do? Here's a famine. We better figure out a way around this. And so, I mean, Sarah was probably in his ear saying, we just left Haran. It was great up there. What'd you bring me to this piece of junk for? I mean, some people are like that. How many of you have moved to a place and went, uh-oh? When we moved into our new house earlier last year, we bought this house and then we realized that the people who had sold it to us had pretty much botched everything. So you name it, windows, floors, walls, everything was done by Bodgy Brothers Incorporated. And so we are going through, you know, that's what you ask Henry, we're going through replacing bits, putting new things in. But there was a time we looked there and said, really, have we made the right decision here? Because it's a piece of junk. But what Abraham did with Sarah was they looked at it and they started scheming. And so the scheme was, well, let's leave it and let's go down to Egypt. They've got to have food there. And so they left and went down to Egypt, which is Bible talk for stepping out of the will of God. Now, down in Egypt, of course, if you remember the story, it was an unmitigated disaster. Abraham called Sarah his wife to try and protect himself. There was nearly judgment. Sorry, his sister. I'm sorry. She was his wife. She was his half-sister anyway. He called her that to protect himself, thank you. And so the whole thing was a mess. He nearly lost his life. He did lose his testimony, and he nearly lost his wife. He failed the test, folks, and tests will come for us. If we want to move to a new position, tests will come for us. I've got to tell you, for me, they come in the form of counsel. They really do. Council make it really tough on churches. They've got certain standards that they bring in, and they're pretty tough for churches. But I believe we need to stay in the will of God and keep pressing on. Yes? Good. See, to move takes faith. We need money to move. We need faith. We need commitment. Some of you will need to commit yourself to driving 5 minutes more. That's big. There's roadworks. But I believe there's a blessing if we commit ourselves to doing those things. There's costs, but God has shown me again and again that the rewards will far outweigh the costs in moving to a new place. Of course, James 1 verse 2 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." And it's, "Let the steadfast love have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So, can we move into a blessing in 2021? Can we move into a blessing? We can. Are you, let me ask you, can we move into a blessing?
Yes.
No one likes moving. Who likes moving? Hate it. Hate it with a passion. But, you know, especially if you're not sure of the destination. Some of you, you know, have packed into suitcases, right, and come across the other side of the world. That's a scary thing. To compact your life down into a few suitcases and step out in faith. But I believe the Lord is calling us to follow Him, and that when we do, despite the discomfort, the cost, the stress, and the great fear of the unknown, God has a blessing for us in 2021. This is our year. This is our moment, and we can follow the Lord and move into our destiny. We really can. I can feel it in my bones. God's doing some great stuff here. Are you excited? Because I'm starting to get more excited. See, God called Abraham to move location, and He blessed Abraham that he might be a blessing to others. And through Abraham and his descendants, the whole world has been blessed. So whenever God gives you a blessing, it's so you can bless others. Not so you can bathe in luxury and have a nice time. It's so you can bless other people. God's blessings are not luxuries, they're opportunities. And Hebrews 6:11 says this, listen to this. "We desire that each one of you to show the same earnestness and to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherited the promises." So we can sit here, frankly, as a church, we can sit here comfortably, relaxing, you know, in air conditioning and all that sort of stuff as our holy huddle on a hill. But I'm telling you, God has more. God has more for us. And I believe that we can step into a place where He will not only bless us, but will bless everybody around us and, importantly, bless our community. I believe that God wants to plant us right in the middle of our community. Anyone with me? Ready to reach our people with the gospel in these dark times. So this morning, it's a little bit different than normal, but I want to invite you to join us on a journey. Do you ever play with maps as a kid and try to find your way around and stuff like that? It's kind of fun. You know, have you ever read a map for someone else who's driving? Some of you ladies are like that, you know? Turn right back there, you know? We don't use maps very often. We use GPS these days. But I'm telling you, back in the pirate days, you needed a map. But there was treasure at the end of that map. You know, that's the thing. So this morning, I want to invite you to a journey that is that I believe will be a journey of amazing blessing. Could you imagine if you were present at the first meetings of Hillsong Church? Look at it today and you could say, wow, I was there at the start. I was there when something significant happened. Imagine if you're an investor investing in Amazon shares at the start of their journey. Do you know, if you put $10,000 into Amazon shares in May 1997, that's worth more than $12 million today. How cool is that? So I believe in 2021, we have the chance to follow the Lord into something more valuable than just shares. We have the chance to journey into His destiny for us as a people and for us as individuals. But it necessitates moving. I cannot see any way around it. And the Lord's really spoken very strongly to me on this. We need to move. It won't be far, but it's going to be important that we do, leaving what we know and where we're comfortable and stepping out in faith. Now, where would we be today if Abraham and Sarah had not committed themselves to obey the Lord? We wouldn't even know who they were. Where will we be today if previous generations of Christians had not fully given themselves to the work of the Lord? We who, you know, we wouldn't be where we are today. You know, and people who come along later must not take for granted what things that have been done by past generations. Indeed, we stand on the shoulders of heroes and of giants. And I believe we can be that for our next generation, don't you? Wouldn't you like to be a part of something that changes our whole area? Because I believe that's what God is calling us to. Now, despite of the folks, remember the old folk songs about going to the land, the promised land, and it's all about dying? The same when you go to the promised land, you know, that's about dying. That's not true. That's nice, but it's not true. The talk about going to the promised land was never about dying and going to heaven. The talk about going to a promised land is a picture of a believer claiming his or her inheritance by faith here on earth. And I believe that's what God is asking us to do by stepping out and geographically locating. So some of you here will be experiencing that right now. Some of you here have been at churches, other churches for a long while, and you felt restless, you felt to come and you felt to lock in with us. And I tell you, there is a blessing in that for you, because God will give you a new and a fresh anointing when you follow him in obedience like that. And it's hard, but I believe God has something for you. And God has a promised land for us as a church too. Like Abraham, is it attained only by faith and when we physically move as he did. So claiming your inheritance involves tests, temptations, challenges and battles, etc. But my God is well able to see us through. Don't you believe that? Philippians 1:6, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. So obedience leads to new challenges and new promises. And I believe God has that for us. Abraham would never have discovered his destiny if he stayed where he was. But God stretched Abraham by calling him out of that situation, and God brought him new, exciting, bold challenges and eventually greatness. So the question is, where is God leading us? Is Darren moving the church to Brisbane? No, who'd do that? Not at all. Let me tell you where I feel the Lord is leading us. Over the last many months, your leadership team, our wider team, has been diligently searching for a way ahead for our church. I had a wish list. Do you ever go to the Lord with a wish list? God, I really want it to be this, 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 and this. And I didn't think it was possible. But I specifically wanted a property. I wanted it in the center of Nambour, right in downtown, right in people's faces. Is anybody excited about that? Okay. I wanted it on the ground floor, because with Gabe and us, we need it on the ground floor. I wanted it air conditioned. Anybody in favor of that? And the people said, woo. I wanted it with tons of parking, heaps of room to expand. And I was really keen on having somebody else pay my mortgage. I like that a lot. Incredibly, we feel we have found such a property. Our leaders are very excited about it. It is within our price bracket. I'm going to go into detail of this next week, so please don't miss out, because you'll find out all the sort of details next week. But we believe we've identified a property, but it needs miracles. It needs the sellers to accept our offer. It needs the council to change zonings. Now, we've met with the council over this particular property, and all the indications are that they will actually change the zoning for us. I've never heard of that before either, but who'd have thought? So amazingly, this is starting to line up here. It also needs someone to buy this property that we're in, and we're asking the Lord for a creative solution for that, because it's very hard to sell a property that is zoned like this. To move into our destiny will take sacrifice, time, money, discomfort, great faith. But I am convinced that God is calling us as a church to follow him to a new and better place. Jesus said in Luke 9, if any of you will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We need to take up our cross and follow him. Are you with me? So I think God's doing a new thing. So I'm going to, as I say, tell you more about this next week. I'll reveal all the details of what God is showing me. I will probably introduce you to the property if that's possible. And, you know, if things go ahead the way that I am hoping for and praying for, then I believe God has a solution. And it's going to place us right in the hub of a community that we can win to Jesus. Oh, does that get you excited? It does me, I'll tell you. And even though it's scary and it might be a struggle, I feel that our God is well able, don't you? Because he has a plan and a destiny for us. Let me finish this message this morning with a story. There is a moth, and I'll pop him up on the board here. It's called the emperor moth. Have you ever seen it? We have some here. There's all around the world. There's different versions of this moth. A man once found the cocoon of an emperor moth, and he kept it with the purpose of watching the beautiful creature emerge. Finally, the day came, and it began to struggle out through this tiny opening in the cocoon. And the struggle continued for hours. But the moth could never seem to force its body past a certain point. It appeared like it was stuck. So finally, believing that something was wrong and that the opening should have been larger, the man carefully took a little pair of scissors and snipped a hole in the cocoon to let the moth out. The moth then emerged easily, and he crawled out onto the windowsill. Its body was large and swollen, and its wings were small and shriveled. The man thought that in a few hours the wings would develop into the beautiful objects that he had expected, but it did not happen. The moth that should have been a thing of great beauty, free to fly and float and spend its short life in joy and in the air, actually was dragging around a swollen body and shriveled wings. You see, the constricting threads and the struggle necessary to pass through the tiny opening is God's method of forcing fluid from the body into the wings of the creature. And that's what creates these beautiful patterns. Without the struggle, you don't get that. The merciful snip of the threads was probably the most cruel thing he could have done for that moth. Often God lets us struggle rather than stepping in like a big brother to do our fighting for us. And no doubt he can make it all so easy. He can make every moment of your life absolutely pleasant. But as we struggle, as we are tested, as we step out in faith, sometimes we struggle beyond the point of exhaustion, almost beyond endurance. Changes occur in us that would not happen otherwise. The fluid expands out from our body into our wings, and we can become an object of beauty before the Lord and become all that he wants us to be. Cut the struggle short at some crucial point, and we're crippled forever, or until God gives another opportunity for the struggle that the first aborted struggle didn't give us. So it's time in 2021, I believe, to answer the call of God, to move into our destiny. So I'd urge you, don't be fearful, be prayerful. Can you do that for us? Because we want to pray that our destiny is in the hand of the Lord and that he brings it to pass the way he wants. Because if it's not of God, I don't want to be anywhere near it, and neither do you. But if it is of God, I don't want to miss it. Because I believe God has more. And I actually believe this, it's an older property that we have our eye on, but it will tick all of those boxes. It's an incredible opportunity, and God has placed it before us. So please pray this week that God will bring this to pass. There is an offer hanging in the balance. If they accept it, we're on the road. If they don't, we argue about it. But you know how it works. But I believe God has more for us, much more for us. So would you pray for that for us this week? Don't be fearful, be prayerful. And pray as we seek the Lord and seek to follow him in obedience. We're just trying to be obedient, not trying to make it difficult. We could stay here, but God has more. Everybody say it with me. God has more. Say it again. God has more. So why don't you bow your heads in prayer? We'll wrap it up this morning and then go to groups. But Father, I pray that you would just lead us and guide us. Lord, as Abraham was faithful and set out on the journey, even though he knew he had to move from one place to another, Lord, I pray that you would open the doors for us that no man can shut. Lord, by faith, I pray that you would open and make a way for us to reach our community. And Lord, if it is this place, Father, that you would make it happen. Lord, we commit our future into your hands. We commit our church into our hands. We commit to you our families, our loved ones. Lord, we commit every aspect of life to you, and we say, have your way. Have your way, O Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.